Hey gang, are you looking to make business cards and not quite sure where to go? Maybe you've tried some online resources before and you are not happy with the results you got. Well, let me tell you about the one that I use and I love. That's Vistaprint.com. Vistaprint allows you to make up to 500 full-color, single-sided, or double-sided business cards starting at $9.99. Simply go to Vistaprint.com and order your cards there. And in the offer code, enter BC500. That's B as in boy, C500. Go to Vistaprint.com. You'll be very happy with the results. Start passing out your cards today. Let them know who you are. Vistaprint.com. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, welcome to the show. I'm Johnny. I am your host. I have a fantastic show for you today. Hip-hop rapper and producer Kid Jones is here today. Man, I've been talking to his manager, Harris, about getting him on the show for so long now. I think it's well over a year, but we finally got it together. Kid finally came in, and it was a great conversation. He's amazing. He does a lot of great work here in town. He does a lot of great work with other rappers all around the United States. And he had a lot of success early on. And his brother, Tank Washington, who you might know, he was on the show a couple years ago, like in 2015. Anyway, Kid and I have a fantastic conversation. He is a great rapper, a great writer, and a great producer. And he has a fantastic story. He grew up here in Austin. He's part of the LNS crew. And you can find him on Twitter, on Spotify. You can find him at lnscrew.com. You can find him on iTunes, all the places where you find music. And if you live in Austin, you can find him this Thursday, July 13th at Swan Dive. Go watch him play. I will be there. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm looking forward to seeing him play live, seeing what it's like. All right, so I'll be talking to Kid Jones in just a minute. Before we get to that, let me tell you what's going on with me. 4th of July went by. I hope that you guys all enjoyed your 4th of July and had a very happy and safe one. I did. I went out to Pflugerville and played at the Pflugerville Field. Both of them start with fire with silent P's. And their fireworks display also starts with the silent P. The show was good, man. It was hot. It was outside. It was in a stadium. It was weird because the entire football field, brand new. Everything's brand new. They had like a, it was very like security was kind of heavy for the people that were coming to the thing. They had to have clear bags. They had to do all, it was a whole shebang, you know. You couldn't drink in there. It was just all kind of like too many rules going on, I thought. You know, for my idea of what a great 4th of July is, kind of like, hey, let's let it all hang out a little bit. But, you know, it's a new place. They had to have some rules. They did it. They had a big jumbotron. We played. It was a giant empty field and people on either side. And, yeah, great fireworks display. And then we played as the people left. Played a little set there at the end to people walking out. They were into it, but it was, you know, it was a school night. And it was already 10 o'clock. And they had seen the fireworks. And what the hell else were they going to do? You know, Dancing Queen, you know. That can only hold you for so long. Anyway, a good time on 4th of July. Then, yeah, I'm going to Cleveland tomorrow, today, the day that this comes out, with Skyrocket. We're playing a party there tomorrow, Saturday. Should be a good time. But I will be back Sunday, and I will be at the Kid Jones Show Thursday, July 13th, at Swan Dive, right here in Austin. Enjoy my conversation. This guy's great, man. Great, great conversation. Great story. Really motivated musician. He's been doing it since he was a kid. You can tell. He grew up here in Austin, so that's always nice to have that insight. And it's always nice to find like hip-hop guys that were born and raised here, because it always feels like Austin isn't an incredibly overt hip-hop town, as it is overshadowed by rock and roll, country, singer-songwriter, Americana, and whatnot. But it is nice to see that there is a great hip-hop underground going on with incredible people like Kid Jones and the LNS crew, and of course his brother Tank Washington. But before I ramble on forever, let's talk to Kid Jones. Great artist, great producer, great rapper, my friend, Kid Jones. Let's get down.
They say I'm not the kid I used to be for you. Girl, it's one of me, honey, feel you. If you talking money, who are you? But I've been really out here getting it. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?
that's only if I trust the spot. I don't get eggs from a lot of places. Oh yeah, only if I trust the spot. Yeah, only if I trust the spot, I'm getting eggs in there. But if I don't trust it, nah, no eggs.
Really?
Yep.
Why is that?
Because people can, like, I don't know, like, people cook eggs different. You know, sometimes they cook it on, the pan skillet, where it's, like, just a large skillet thing.
Yeah.
Then sometimes they cook it in, you know, a regular skillet. Or, I don't know. Sometimes, like, I've gone to places and the eggs just have a taste to it, you know? Taste to it, so... Yeah, it's just too, like, I don't know, gritty or just too, like, of a taste, you know? So, but I have this place that I go to near my house that, their eggs is, like, the bomb.
Are you from Austin?
Born and raised, yeah.
Born and raised. Yeah. So, you got the taco thing.
Yeah.
You got the same as the rest of us. We're all kind of like, all right, what's your taco? Like, what's your underground place?
Oh, my underground place?
Yeah.
Man. What is a place on? Is it Maria's with the lady with the hands? Maria's.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I grew up going there. I think they're that was like a pretty like.
You ever play there?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
no, I haven't.
They always have shows during South By and stuff.
No, yeah. No, I haven't got invited to play there yet, which is crazy. I think, but maybe one day.
Where do you play here in town mostly?
I'd say the most place like the Mohawk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do they regularly have hip hop shows there, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like them and Empire really keep it kinda going. That scene here in town.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you elaborate and tell me a little bit about the LNS crew and tell the people that are listening? Tank Jones is part of that, right?
Yeah, Tank Washington.
Tank Washington, sorry, Jesus.
Yeah, that's my brother.
That is your brother?
Yeah.
But, so I hit it. That was a...
That was one of them moments.
I just talked to him on Twitter last week about coming back in. He was on here a couple years ago, and I remember I put a song with you two guys on it on a playlist last year, two years ago.
The LNS crew, Tank Washington, that's my older brother. Same mother, different pops. That's why the names are different at the end. This is our real last name. So, LNS crew. Let's see. The journey of LNS crew. It took a while to get to LNS crew. First, we were different. You know, we were under different names. It started when we were like, I want to say, we got where our first group was called Southern Boys, and it was just me and my brother Tank. And then we end up signing to a local label in Austin by the name of Above All Entertainment. And then once Above All kind of just like fell out, the little situation with them fell out, I started LNS Crew.
Is that like a collective of artists that can help each other and sort of like back each other up when they need to?
Exactly.
It's
a collective of artists, producers, just talented individuals that, you know, get together and just conquer.
Yeah. Sometimes it's easier to do it with an army than it is on your own.
Definitely. You know? I agree.
I feel like in hip hop, that has been a thing for a long time. Like, people have known to join forces than in rock. Like, when a rock person does a song with another rock person, it's a really big deal because it doesn't happen that much.
Right.
But, like, there's almost no hip hop songs with just one guy on it. I should say like in the mainstream, like there's always a couple of other people in there helping out, throwing in their two cents, so to speak. Like Top of the Morning with Top KP the Prophet.
Top of the Morning, shout out KP.
That's you on there.
Yeah, I produced it and I'm featured on it. And yeah, you know, that's just one of those things. You know, he's from San Antonio, I'm from Austin, so it's like almost like a cross promotion thing. I think that's what a lot of artists, you know, are doing nowadays to, you know, maximize the, you know, maximize their outreach, you know, trying to reach new fans, you know, reach new people that they wouldn't ordinarily, you know, reach, you know, without collaborating with, you know, artists, different artists in different areas.
How do you know him? Is he part of the crew or?
No, he's not a part of the crew. he's just a, you know, a distant friend, you know, that I met through another artist out from out in San Antonio. And, you know, just, you know, the word just trickles. You know, I worked with one artist in San Antonio, then, you know, just, you know, trickles, you know, he found out about me, and then, you know, I found out about him, and, you know, we're working.
Yeah.
Just like that.
How did you, let's go back. So you're born and raised here.
Yeah.
What, how did your brother introduce you to music? I mean, how did that whole thing work? Like, how did you decide that this is what you wanted to do?
Yeah, my brother did introduce me to music. We were at the Boys and Girls Club on, I want to say, like, on the south side. It was, like, I think, like, behind Old Torf, somewhere around that area, whatever the Boys and Girls Club over in that area is. We were going there, and I was just, like, playing basketball, and my brother would be, like, freestyling and getting these big crowds around him, you know, and I didn't really care about it, you know. And then, you know, one day this guy came up to him and was like, you know, I want you to come to my studio and blah, 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 you know. He was talking to my brother, and he kept coming to the Boys and Girls Club and seeing my brother do these raps and, you know, stuff in front of all these kids, and he was getting like big crowds of kids, and I was just like, yeah, whatever, you know. And then my brother was just, you know, trying to, you know, the guy was trying to get him to come to the studio. My dad didn't end up letting him call. And
no, because it might have been a little weird. Like, the guy had a white van and was like, "Hey, I've got candy at the studio."
No, I think it was more of like we were really young.
How old were you?
I think we were like 9. I was like 9. My brother was like 10 or 11 at that time.
Oh shit! So you guys were like kids.
Yeah, we were kids, and I think my dad was just like, "Nah, you're not going. You're not rapping. You're not going to anybody's studio," because it wasn't a thing that we were like really taking serious at the time. It was just like, that was like almost like a, you know, like my brother going, you know, up the street and then came back with a skateboard. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
it's
right,
like,
right.
It's kind of like one of those things that to my dad, you know, it was like, oh, that's just a new thing you picked up. You're not going to some studio or, you know, you know.
Right, right, right.
And, you know, years go by.
There's those kind of parents, like, we don't get mixed up with those guys. You're not going over there.
Yeah,
yeah. Getting it all in that studio thing.
Exactly. he was just not with it, you know. And
where is he now with it? Is he cool?
Oh, yeah, he was cool. My
okay.
dad passed away
sorry.
Last year from cancer.
I'm very sorry about that.
No, it's fine. But yeah, he was, you know, he was about it once we started taking it serious. And,
okay.
And
so wait, let's go back. So the guy invited Tank to the studio, and then you didn't go. He didn't go.
Yeah, he didn't even go either. And I think we just kept like making demos, making songs, going to, you know, talent shows, just me and my brother and our little brother and our cousins and our friends, whoever we had, you know, supporting us at the time. And that's when we were under the name Southern Boys. And we end up running into this group at a party. And they were like, they had a CD and we had a CD. And so they were like, you know, our age. So we gave them our CD and we took their CD and we, you know, we jammed their CD and we was like, wow.
How old were you when Southern Boys came out?
I was at this age, Southern Boys, I was probably like, I was in eighth grade.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And you had a CD out.
Oh yeah. Oh man. We were pressing CDs out. We were going to the art room, getting construction paper, going into the stairway, shooting, you know, having photo shoots in the stairway,
yeah,
with, you know, digital cameras, you know, that we had, you know, yeah, friends with, you know, it was all that we had. Then I had my other friend, you know, pressing up the CDs all night on his computer, you know, because I had one friend, you know, he had the good CD burner,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
Mine would take an hour just for one CD. He had one that take like 15 minutes for one CD. So
where did you record this stuff at home?
Making
beats at home and stuff?
We recorded at home. This is like, we were still in Southern Boys. We were recording at home. I was working at IHOP at the time. I was like, I had just turned 14, and I was working at IHOP, and Tank had called me. He was like, we always had a computer, and we were recording it this weird way. We were recording, we had a tape. We had headphones. We had a pair of headphones that we used for the mic. And it was wrapped in a sock, and that was what we used for the mic, right? But then we had another headphone that we used, you know,
to listen.
That we also used to listen, and we used to rehearse so much that I would do his ad libs.
Oh right.
And I would, and he would do my ad libs, and we would sing the hooks, the choruses together.
Okay.
So it would just be one, you know, one take for a song, and basically maybe even one tape for a song. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, and we would loop the beats by. We'd be recording on our recording on the tape from the radio, like 88.7, we hear a song, it have a little beat, you know what I'm saying, like that, and then we'd loop the beat like that, like super, like meticulously loop the beat, like
by ear with no computer,
nothing,
assistance.
Just tape, yeah,
like
this
straight
is tape.
Like old school looping, old like school how looping. People loop,
yeah old school looping, we were looping,
dude,
like
that's
that.
Making the hair on my arm stand up, that is the coolest dog. Fucking thing.
And the craziest thing about it, we had really great sound. I wish I could find a CD, and I'm gonna
That's
find
what I was
a CD.
About to ask you. Like, did they sound like shit? But like,
it sounded like shit, but
it had a cool sound.
It had a great sound because, like, to say that we recorded it like that when we would play it for people, and you know they would listen to it to be like, wow. Because then eventually, once you know, I was going back to the story when I was at work, and Tank called me and said he had the studio set up in a better way. He had a program, and you know what I'm saying, now he had a little mic, like the little mic, like the one that sat on the desk.
Yeah.
And, you know, stood out. So now we had like a mic.
You weren't
singing
into your headphones.
We're singing into the headphones.
You know, what's really interesting is that you guys, I mean, are you guys, is anyone electrically, engineeringly inclined? Because it does take a little bit before you figure out that speakers and microphones are the exact same thing, just with things going in different directions.
Exactly. Not really. My older brother, now he works on like iPhones, and he's always been like super technical with like the computers and stuff. I never could, I still not. Computer techie, I suck at that stuff, so I always like have cool friends that could give me programs and that can like help me clean my computers, and can always, because I always sucked at that. So
he called you, he said he got the studio better, you got a mic.
So yeah, he said he had the studio better, he had the mic, and he had the computer that we had, but he had got a program on it, and I think at the time that program was like Nero. You know what that is?
Mm-mm.
Well, Nero was this, you know what Nero is, right? So Nero was this program. It was like Nero. It's like I think it was originally just used for like burning songs or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly what it was really used. What is it for? Making CDs, right? So
this is a long time ago, like early 2000s?
Early 2000s, yeah.
Go ahead.
And so I leave home. I leave from my job at... IHOP. I leave. I instantly leave. I get on the bus, and I think I didn't even wait for the bus to come. I just like start running home. You know what I'm saying? Because I only lived. It was only probably like 3 miles, 3.5 miles.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, man, waiting on the bus. Like I could wait on the bus for like an hour just because I usually timed it. You know?
Right.
So I wouldn't have to wait on the bus stop for so long. So I just start running home. I was like, man. And I had so much adrenaline at the time. I was like 15. I could. Man, 3 miles is nothing.
Right, you know yeah, 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 of course.
Did that like nothing. And then I had a reason to go home, too. I was,
yeah.
I probably got home in like 10, 15 minutes. So I get home. Tank is like, man, I got it. And we recorded like 3 or 4 songs like right there, you know. So this is where he could lay the beat out. He laid the beat out in Nero. So now we could hear the beat in the headphones and not have, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And we can actually record a take. You know, and we were still really new at recording. We really didn't have it all the way locked down. That's why our earlier recording sounded better, because it was only like it was only one person doing one take. Like he would only be rapping and I would doing his ad-libs in the background.
Right.
So it was more of a solid sound. Now we're doing 3 and 4 takes, you know, making the voice sound, you know, so whatever.
Yeah.
Just sucked at, you know, just early recording, you know, and but we still made, you know, some solid stuff. And yeah, it was just me and my brother. And then once we met this group, called Impact at this party. Like I said, we exchanged CDs and we actually played their music. And we were like, dang, their stuff is good. You know, we're like, God. And we were really not so impressed with the younger guys, but more the older guys, which was like Gutta. He's this artist, local artist from Austin, way older than us. Gutta, Black Mike, and... had these two artists on their CD, and we were just so like, wow, these people from Austin, this is crazy. We've never heard, you know, we've been, you know, searching, you know, this is stuff like, you know, it's like, wow, we got Michael Jordan here living in our town. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
So we're like, dang. So, you know, we listen to their music all the time and we never, you know, reached out to them. And then one Sunday, like rainy day, they called us because we had our number and our information on our CD.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are people at their studio, Gutta, which at the time, you know, we didn't know him at all. And he called us and he was like, I want y'all to come up to the studio and, you know, rap for us. And we're like, I remember looking at my brother, Tank, and we shared a room in my bed. You know, we both had twin beds on the opposite ends. And I'm laying down, and he's looking at me. He's like, so what you want to do? You know, Gutta just called us. And I'm like, Gutta? Dude from the CD? He's like, yeah. He's like, you want to go to the studio? And I'm like, yeah, let's go. So we go to the studio, and this was in East Austin. We didn't know what kind of studio we were going in. Me and my brother, we were doing it ourselves. You know, just had to set up in the room, in the closet. So
was it like a really nice studio?
It was a really nice studio.
You get there, you're like, dude, so, you don't understand. We were singing in our headphones.
Exactly, exactly. So we go to this studio, and it's in this backyard. It's all, you know, nice and decked out. And right before I go there, and I'm like, bro, right when we were pulling up to see, I'm like, bro, Tank, like, you can't do what we do at home. You know, I told Tank he would do like 50 takes. You know what I mean? Like track takes to do one, you know, verse.
Sure.
And I'm like, you can't do that, you know?
Right. You're gonna make us look bad.
Yeah, you're gonna make us look bad, bro. And you know, we went in there, and we, as soon as we walk in, first, you know, they got all these TVs in like a lobby kind of area, TVs in the lobby and video games everywhere, and it's just nice, you know. It's just, we're like, oh God, like, so this is the studio? And he's like, nah, go to the right. And we're like, okay, go to the right. There's a door. And then we pull up in the studio, it's all black. It got, you know, the foam, everything all over the wall. Has a, it's like a three booth. And it had the, like, isolation booth.
Yeah.
You know, he had the board and everything. And this is a Checkmate at AA Studios in, like, the early 2000s. So we get in there, and we're like, oh, my God. And it was dark, and it had the lights coming from the ceiling, you know, and everywhere.
Right,
it was crazy.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my brother like, yo, what the? Like, what is going on? And I just looked at him. I was like, you ready? And it was just like, yeah, well, y'all ready? Y'all ready to battle? He was like, battle. He was like, I was like, whatever. You know what I'm saying? At this time, like, you could tell me to rap, and I could literally rap you, like, I could just rap you. I could rap, you know, circles around anybody. You know, I had material. I had books full of material in my head that I had already memorized. And so I went in there. Me and my brother, we went into the same booth. These other guys, Killa and Young J, they went into the same booth. And they were a little younger than me and my brother, so I think at the time, Killa was like 13, and Young J was like 14, same age as me. And but it wasn't, it had nothing really to do with age. Me and my brother was just like, just crazy talented at that time. You know, we were on fire.
At that age.
Like, we were, because we were basically putting each other through like boot camp. You know, leading up to that point, we were like, you know, in our room, man. You know, just, you know, rapping back and forth to each other to where it was like, you know, it was like a chess game. It was just crazy. So we were just so ready and prepared to, you know, rap in front of, you know, people. And this was like our first chance rapping in front of, you know, people we thought that mattered. Mm-hmm. And we did that for like 10 minutes. And, you know, they were just like, dang. And that's kind of really when our, you know, career really started getting serious, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were like, dang. And, you know, we left, and they called us back probably like a week later. They was like, we want y'all to work on, you know, some songs with this group. And we end up joining the group, start working on songs with this group, Impact. We end up joining the group. Let's say within that summer, we got a record deal.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Did you guys go out and play, or did you?
Yeah, we played. We played a lot of shows, and we did a lot of shows, you know, with a lot of famous people, and it was like a distribution deal with like Sony Red. And it was crazy. It was a crazy trip. It just ended up going bad. Ended up going bad real soon, real quick.
Then can you talk about that?
What
happened? It was Tower Records.
Harris, come over here. Harris, come over here, because he's my factual. I could tell you the stories, but I want to give you facts.
Facts real quick.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Hit him with the facts.
I love this.
Yeah, so...
Here, turn the mic. There you go. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, so...
Talking to it, though.
Yeah, from my understanding, basically, Check had, like, a distribution deal for the group the kid was with, Impact, on, like, I forget what the name was, but it was, like, basically Tower Records, like, little joint that they had, like...
Right before they went out of business?
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, that, from what I understand, that kind of fucked everything up.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it, man.
But I think it was like a series of things that messed it up. Like when we were in Atlanta, we went there for the photo shoot, for our album photo shoot, right? Our manager from LA, Sean Sharp.
So you, I mean, how old were you then?
Dude, I was 15. You're 15. I was 14 turning 15.
Right, you got a manager in L.A. You're flying to Atlanta to do photo shoots. You're signed to this label that has, like, Sony Red Distribution. That's pretty awesome. Oh, most 15-year-olds are just trying to figure out a way to jerk off without their dad catching them.
We used to walk through the malls in Austin and get chased down, like really by kids, like, chasing us down. We did, like, a lot of footwork as, like, kids. Like, and we had, it was because, like, we had, like, a good funding. Like, you know, RIP to Checkmate's dad, who died in 9/11. That's how he got a lot of, you know, money to first fund, you know, a lot of these things that we were, you know, being able to do. And then once we got, you know, the label behind us, it just really just skyrocketed. You know, it got real crazy real fast. And basically, yeah, how we lost our deal and our distribution is our album still came out. And so check it out. We were in Atlanta doing this photo shoot, and I saw our manager. So our manager from L.A., you got to understand, I was like 14 going 15. So when I first met this manager, dude, he came from L.A. to Austin just to, you know, come vibe and hang out with us, you know, and get the feel of the group. And we were in the studio, you know, and I'm like, you know, Harris, you know me, and I've never changed. Like, so when I get in the studio, I'm like masterminding everything. I need to be over here. I need to be right behind the engineer. I need to be telling everybody how it needs to sound. I've always been like
the Dre of the group.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But the Dre, but also the best writer, the best, you know, this is how I'm coming off. You know what I'm saying? So I'm in the studio just, like, you know, being me, and he saw that, and he literally pulled me to the side and was like, you know, I want you to, you know, have my number personally. And, you know, I see something in you. And he was like, I just want, you know, to be real close with you. You know what I'm saying? And we stayed close for a while. And when we were in Atlanta, he was like trying to call Checkmate, my manager, to, like, you know, we had this thing where we're about to get signed to Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx, this was like when Jamie Foxx had just came out. He had just got his show back on, I forget what network, but anyway, he wanted us to do like this. He wanted us to do the soundtrack for his, like, this show or whatever Jamie Foxx did.
Wow.
And Dallas.
So and this is, and our manager at the time, this was the same guy. This was like when G-Unit was like the hottest group, you know, of the time. And he had got like, and basically everybody in Texas that was blowing up at the time, like Paul Wall,
yeah,
and all these guys, he had got all these guys their deals with Universal, you know what I'm saying? Oh. So I had the same manager. I had a legit manager, like, that was crazy, you know, legit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he basically broke, like, everybody that came out of Texas in, like, the early 2000s, all those guys from out of Houston, this was the guy, you know what I'm saying, Sean Sharp. So basically, you know, he's calling me, like, you know, where's Checkmate? You know, he's not answering my phone. And we in the studio, and I see Checkmate phone, like, you know, going off. But mm-hmm. And then I see my two-way going off. We were all these young kids. We had the sidekicks.
Right.
You know, company phones and shit. Yeah. Like, so, yeah. And Sean, he's like texting me, like, Bajay, like, bam. And I'm like, damn. I'm like, I can't really tell Checkmate, you know, yet, like, you know, Sean is texting me, you know what I mean? Like, saying, answer the phone, because I'm a child.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. I know that exact situation.
Yeah.
Like,
so,
in my world, I've been in that thing where you're like, uh-oh, this guy's fucking up, but I can't.
Yeah, so.
Because everything will explode.
So I'm a child, and I'm like, you know, and I'm there doing this photo shoot, and I'm just kind of like high at the moment, just like, I'm still doing things I've never done before. You know, all these cameras in my face. I'm just like, yo, I think I'm doing the right thing. So I didn't really put two and two why Sean was calling me at the time, but it come to find out, like, you know, we had another meeting and shit, and I'm still so young comprehending this, because I end up leaving Checkmate them after our album came out, because nobody was trying to be in the studio. You know what I'm saying? Like,
everyone, like, got the deal and just, like, fucked off.
Everybody was like, whatever. It wasn't really that. They were just kind of waiting for, you know, something to happen.
Right. And I just wanted to make stuff.
I just wanted to, you know, create, you know, keep making music. And, you know, he started, you know, locking the key, you know, not letting me in the studio, Bajay, you know, not really not letting me in the studio, just not letting me, not having it available for me as much as I needed, as much as I urged for it. So I felt like I was outgrowing them, and you know, I just had to leave. But before then, Sean had told me, you know, everything. He was just like, obviously, you know, he's like, I guess I don't manage y'all guys no more. You know what I'm saying? He's like, I got cert papers or something. You know what I'm saying? To where I don't manage you guys now. So that day he was calling me, Checkmate had just, like, re-signed our contract to this guy, their name, JP, I guess. And he's all on, in these YouTube videos. I don't really know who he is. I just remember from that day, from when I was 15, 14, his name was JP. And Checkmate ended up signing us over to him. And basically that company ended up just taking all our money and just basically like disappearing, you know, right? That just sucks. Like evaporating to dust.
Yeah, that's like 50s stuff. Early 60s, you know what I mean? Like, oh, this label, they sold me off to this other guy, and that guy just squashed my shit. Nothing ever happened. He took my money.
Yeah, basically, that's what happened. And,
these label situations.
And I seen it all unfold and seen how we got played because, the girls that were in our photo shoot, these are, like, big time models and, you know, vixen, video vixens now, still to this day. Like. Yeah. Crazy. And even the crazy karma that comes back around is the girl that was in our video shoot, which I know that company used that money to sponsor her career. I know for a fact. So check it out. In like early, like probably like 2006, I end up sending, no, I want to say like 2012, I end up sending this female artist who was like signed to Wiz Khalifa at the time, some beats, you know what I mean? And it happened to be this girl, you know, who was in our photo shoot. I didn't really put two and two together at the time, but then she hit me back actually wanting the beats, you know what I'm saying? And it was just like crazy. I was putting two and two together. I was like, dang, that's her.
Did you say anything to her about it?
No, I didn't say anything to her about it. Because, I mean, I bet you she doesn't know.
Right.
Yeah, I bet you she doesn't know that, you know that, like, this is what funded, you know, like, her whole thing. And
what an amazing insight to get as a little kid, because then you've taken that knowledge on when you were in your 20s and you could really do stuff. Then you knew the warning signs.
I still fucked up. I still fucked up. Signing to another management company that was, whoa, crazy.
So what happened? How did you pick up the pieces yourself? You left the group because it didn't work out. And you saw what was happening. And then would you came back here and just regrouped?
Yeah, basically I just regrouped. And my brother was still, like, still there. He still, you know, had loyalty to them, and he still basically stuck around. And basically at the time, I think we had, at that label, we had, like, a quality sound, you know what I'm saying? But then technology changed, and then I don't think they were able to keep up with the technology that, you know, basically, like, the way that, you know, the sound of music, the way that, you know, it was being mixed and delivered. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
totally.
How, like,
they weren't ready. They were in the
past. So basically, I just started, you know, making music back in the closet again, you know. I went through probably, like, 2 years, and I was actually sending music back to Sean Sharp, you know, my old manager and shit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he actually bailed me out of jail, like, twice. My old manager.
What'd you go to jail for?
Nothing, traffic shit probably, you know what I'm saying? But like, I called him and he, like, you know, sent me the bread to get out and shit, you know what I mean? Like, and you know, like, and I would be sending music to him, but the quality wasn't there because I was back in the closet. Now I had just came from, you know, like a studio. Now I'm like being a, you know, like a chorus studio rapper, to where when I was in that studio, like, I'll tell you, like, last time we were there, they'll tell you, when I was in that studio, I did like so many tracks, and then I even started producing. This is when I started producing at 15. You know, then I made like hundreds of beats on MPCs and Triton 4000. I was young, but I'm talking about dope shit. Like, the sounding, you know, music, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I was so hungry at that time. You had to, you know, somebody had to harness that the right way. So I ended up having to leave. And then I went through like 2 years of just, you know, discovery of myself, trying to find, you know, producers. And, you know, working in my closet, trying to, you know, develop
learn
a sound.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, learning,
putting
learning
in the time.
It all back over. And then I end up, like, meeting, like, I think it was, like, Jared and Keith. I think that's, like, when I met Jared and Keith. And, like, this guy named Jared and Keith, they got this, like, video. They had this video production company. They were young. They are all my age.
Were they here?
Yeah.
I know those guys.
A-Town Productions?
Yeah.
Yeah, so those guys, that's when I first met them. And this was like fresh out of high school, or maybe we were still in high school. And I met Jared at a outside of Cedar Park High School. We were just, you know, hanging outside. It was like a dance or something, or homecoming. And I heard him playing beats outside his BMW. And I was like, those beats don't sound like industry beats. Those sound like, you know,
underground.
Yeah, underground beats. Yeah. So I went up to his car and, you know, the rest was history, you know. we started making music. You know, he had like a studio. His dad owned a church, really, and then he had a studio inside the church.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where we would just work out, you know, after hours or, you know, whenever we could just go in there, which was like all the time because they only had church on Sundays, you know. So, and this was like a mega church. So,
you know what I'm saying?
It didn't feel like we were in a church making, you know, rap songs, you know, beats and stuff. So it was like, and I felt like it kind of harnessed, you know.
Were you working on Pro Tools and,
Yeah, back then, we were working on Pro Tools. And then I just started putting music out myself and, you know, then just start, you know, then I actually start putting music out as an artist in Austin. And
aren't you kind of the same age as like, are Zeely and like Franchise older than you?
I think they're a few years older.
I think they're a few years older than me.
Were they around doing stuff like?
Yeah. Zeely, I always knew about Zeely. I always knew about, I actually met Franchise. Me and Franchise has the most authentic hip hop relationship that like I feel like you can have with the artist, because we both met, the way we met is just so hip hop. It was like, we're downtown on 6th Street and he was like walking west 6th, you know, walking towards west, you know, going west on 6th Street, and I was going east on 6th Street, and you know, we kind of met up, and I think he was rapping, you know just like out loud, and then I just kind of start rapping at him, basically start battling instantly and just start talking about each other, girlfriends, just everything. We started, cool, we literally had like a battle for like 5 or 10 minutes. I don't know.
And, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And then, you know, we shook hands, you know, he was like, you know, Franchise, it was like dope. Blase. He was like, yeah, you dope. And you know, he was just like, yeah, Franchise. You know, I was like, yeah, kid. And you know, we just kind of kept walking. We just kind of dipped off. And then, you know, years later, we're like, you know, that was you, you know. I was like, yeah, that was you. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
so
yeah.
Cool.
So that's how we became cool. But
what's he? I haven't seen him around much over the last year.
He just had a baby.
Really?
Like maybe a year ago, and yeah, he's still doing his music thing. I think I just sent him some beats probably like a few months ago.
Really?
Yeah, I know he still does shows, and then him and Zeely, I think, are putting out a project soon.
Yeah. I like that Zeely's a handsome devil too, isn't he? He is. He's like a smooth.
That boy Zeely. Shout out the boy Zillow.
Zeely. What else is. Okay, so then you've just been putting out records since then. What was that record that was on the Billboard top, whatever, a couple of years ago? What was that?
It wasn't a record. It was actually. It was a single? They featured me as an artist.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh.
It wasn't just a record, but I did release a record that led up to that, was Patience, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Patience was the record that led up to, you know, the Billboard feature. But
right, Russell Simmons joint.
Yeah, Russell Simmons had retweeted it on my video on Twitter and stuff. But yeah, since then I've just been releasing music myself and being under different management, and really, I've been trying to just take things, I feel like, to just the next level every time. I'm not really, just not trying to be satisfied as like a local artist or anything like that. I'm really trying to keep going and leveling up every time. And I feel like that's what we're doing, you know? And like Chuck D told me, he was like...
Like Chuck D told me? Did you say that?
Yeah.
You're the coolest guy I've ever heard in my life, dude.
I really
like Chuck D told me.
I really don't be even saying things like that, but like this is like a fact, like, because like you think we were talking about like success, and was you there, Harris?
Nah, I think that was before me and Seymour got there.
Before you got there? Okay, so this is when Chuck D was getting inducted into the Rock Hall of Fame. Facts. I was there. He, you know, invited me there to be there with him, like get inducted. I was right there on his shoulder, like, you know, in front of like all the hip hop legends. You know what I'm saying? And he was like, but even before he went in there, me and him had a meeting in the back room, you know, where he was just getting prepared himself.
This is giving me fucking goosebumps. I love that guy, man.
And we were just talking about, he was like, success. And he was like, how do you measure success? You know, and he asked me, and I think I said something like corny, like, you know, like, being able to, like, you know, like, support, you know, family and friends or whatever. And, you know, he was like, how do you know when you're there? You know what I'm saying? He was just like, you take, you know, each step is like, each step you take, you know, that's furthering up yourself is like success. You know what I'm saying? Each step is like being like successful. So like, you can't, as long as you're not like, you know, moving backwards, you know what I'm saying? You're being successful, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how you should measure it, you know? And really don't, it's not like a superficial thing, like, you know, like money isn't always the, what factors success, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, he was just giving me jewels like that, you know, like that guy's like, he's amazing.
Amazing. And I, man, like, I wish I could go back. I'm pretty sure it was Fear of a Black Planet. I went to go see Public Enemy. And, he carried that whole thing, because everyone was in their own fucking world by then, and Flavor Flav came out for, like, two songs, maybe.
Yeah.
And, like, you know what I mean? But he...
No, yeah, definitely.
He, like, it was, like, the summit where that mega church is now in Houston, you know what I'm talking about? The Joel Osteen Church.
That's what's up.
Mm-mm. Like, 20,000 people or so. He carried that fucking room by himself.
Yeah, check.
Like, on his own.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely the... Master of Ceremony.
Because remember, I don't know if you guys remember, God, who was the guy that was the Minister of Information that said all this violent shit and people came after him and then he had to get off the tour? There was a lot of key guys that were in Public Enemy that were not doing anything on stage.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
That he was the guy that, like, the kid that wanted to go see them, right, that had been listening to them for years and saved his money from working at Whole Foods.
What's his name? Something Griff?
Professor Griff.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that name.
That was the guy. I felt like he was kind of fucking everything up at the time for those guys. In a way. You know what I mean? He seemed to get, like, a lot of power in his head and kind of went rogue.
Right.
With kind of this revolutionary new violent stance.
I feel you. I'm not really too familiar with Professor Griff, but, I mean, I really just, like, I'm really familiar with Chuck D. I remember when he called me, I was like, Jesus. Chuck who? And I was looking around, I'm like, Chuck who? Because he just said Chuck. You know what I'm saying? He's like, it's Chuck. Like, Chuck who is this? I'm thinking Chuck from, like, the Cool Kids.
Right.
Chuck.
Oh, right, right, right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, Chuck English from the Cool Kids. You know what I'm saying? He's like, Chuck D. I'm like, Chuck D, what? Right. I'm like, why are you calling me? You know what I'm saying? Like, but,
Wow.
I don't know. Like, I forget where were we on? I just kind of,
we were
just
on what you're doing. Like, the latest album you put out is The Sounds of My Head 2?
Yeah, the latest album, Sounds of My Head 2.
Tell me about that. That came out last year?
No, that came out a while ago. That was like, what, 2015,
14? I said 16 on the thing.
Yeah. Oh, that was a re-release. That was a re-release. Okay. That was a new edition re-release. Because a lot of my new fans haven't really heard Sounds of My Head 2. Because, you know, like, music is changing and I'm forever evolving with it. So, like, you know... Sounds of My Head 2 is like my baby, though. That was like my hip-hop jewel. I don't think I'll ever make an album that's like that lyrically or anything like that, because I don't know.
Where were you at?
I was, you know, I made that in here in Austin. It was just like musically, I don't think music is where, you know, where I was at and where music was at when I was making that is not where music is right now, so basically.
Can you elaborate on that? Like, what does that mean? To me, like, explain it to me.
Because, like, basically, my guess
is that his sound has changed, sort of.
Yeah, I would say.
But, like, in what way did it broaden out? Are you doing? What are you reaching for now that you weren't before?
I would say, music. It was more genuine back then. It was like more of like a. What I always thought was, I thought it was like more like a talent-based thing, you know what I'm saying? And it is in a way, but then now I know, like, it's more like if you have your business in order, you can be way more talented, way more successful than the most talented person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then just really just dealing with the politics of, like, this music industry and dealing with just the way, like, fans and, you know, the consumers sway so easily, you know, to popular music. You basically have to always kind of give in just a tad bit just to stay, you know, like, always relevant. You know what I'm saying? I feel like, yeah. Kanye does it, like, to bring up Kanye. He tries to always stay with, like, popular music. No matter what kind of music he's making, he's always staying with, like, the way the sound, like, the popular sound of these young kids, like, these young kids, like, are now, like, you know, 17, you know, like, the popularest people right now are, like, 17, 18, you know, in the music industry. So you kind of got to keep up with.
But But also, to me, he's also, I mean, I can't say, like, for right now, but I can go back to, like, when I heard Black Skinhead for the first time, like, on headphones, I was like,
oh yeah,
like, as a songwriter, as a musician, as a producer, as an engineer, I was like, this feels like getting kicked in the balls, like, when you listen to it.
Well, you know, why that album was so good, right?
Why?
Because of Mike Dean.
Oh.
That's why.
Is he the producer on it?
He's the producer, engineer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because those sounds, all that.
Incredible. Well, what
and
he does.
It just sounds like it's right in your ears,
yeah.
Man.
Oh, yeah. What he does is he's the master of, like, stripping the record down to its barest form to, you know, basically the elements that you need.
Yeah.
And basically that's what he did with that album. He said he basically went into, I mean, I pretty much read everything on Kanye and everything about, you know, like, all his albums. Mike Dean basically went in and stripped all the, you know, took all of the sounds out of that album, basically, and made it, you know, what it is, and, you know, mastered it. Mike Dean is an incredible engineer. Travis Scott's first mixtape was engineered by Mike Dean, is incredible, sounds crazy. That's why, like, Travis Scott's, like, all the rest of his mixtapes and albums, none of them have sounded as good as his first one. None of them sound, because Mike Dean literally did that whole thing.
What else has he done? Does he have records on his own?
Oh, yeah. Mike Dean, he's from Houston.
No shit?
He did all the ghetto shit.
Yeah, have you heard I Hate You, Bitch by Zero? Hate you, bitch.
Very popular song.
Well, that's this song I actually grew up on, like, Zero. You know about Zero, though, right?
Yeah.
With Zero, he has this song. It was, like, actually Zero's first, like, national big song that kind of blew him up nationally. It's basically, I think, one of his biggest songs ever. You know what I'm saying? Actually... And in the beginning of that song, he shouts out, he's like, "Hey, Mike Dean, shout out Mike Dean on the beat," or something like that. And I always wondered who was Mike Dean. And then come to find out, you know, who Mike Dean was. And then Mike Dean's working with Kanye, and Mike Dean's from Texas, right? So that's just crazy. You know, Mike Dean's from, you know, Texas and working with Ye, and just has this incredible ear that he's
incredible.
Like.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's up there with Rick Rubin with the ear right now, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
With the way he engineered that album with Kanye.
Yeah. I mean, it's awesome. And it is, there's a rawness to it. It's not an onslaught of sound. It's definitely, like, stripped down.
Yeah.
There's, like, four things going on.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like so, like, compressed and dynamic.
It's in your
and, like,
face. Yeah.
Just like,
Let me ask you a question. As a producer, do you amass gear? Like weird compressors, like outboard gear at all, or any preamps, or do you work in the box, as they say? Like all of your compression and all that shit is in the computer.
Pretty much in the computer. Like, I want to get into more hardware. Like when I first started out, it was like MPC and the Triton. It was just, you know, straight hardware because that's just what I was learning on. Then I learned, you know, I got on FL Studio and, you know, things like that. And, yeah, now it's just mostly, you know, mostly like digital because, like, I don't even really see myself as a producer, but I only started producing as a necessity. You know what I mean? Because when I was young and when me and my brothers started, when we were making music, we needed beats and we didn't know too many people who made beats or people at all. We didn't know what a producer was at 14, 15. I didn't even know, you know, I thought a producer probably made movies or something, you know?
Right.
So I started making beats and that was only by necessity. But then I really started, you know, like, getting kind of good in it, but then I write songs too. So whenever I'm making beats, it's like usually like it's a battle. It's like, cause if I'm making a beat, then I start writing a song, you know, right while I'm making the beat. So then the beat is never fully done.
Oh, right.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, so it's like, I'm like, that's why I'm like, when it comes to me being a producer, it's kind of like a weird thing. Like, yeah, I do produce for people, but I'm not the best producer. It's not what I'm, you know, like trained in, or it's not, it's like not that, it's not something that I'm constantly studying to, you know, like to do, but I feel like I am a great producer and it's all come from necessity, just needing it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think that's the reason why I haven't really gotten too much hardware, but. You know, like,
it's also like so expensive. It's kind of ridiculous to spend $5,000 on a compressor that does one thing when you can spend like $400 and get the best versions of all those compressors yeah, on a program.
On a program, exactly.
Because the programs are getting so good now. I mean, you've seen it.
Yeah, no,
you
definitely
know, get amazing.
No, definitely. I got some. You know, I make everything online and you know on a computer, and I be trying to manipulate sounds like, you know, Mike Dean, what he did to, you know, Kanye's album, and you know, I feel like I do a good job at it, but there is some things that like you just can't do with, you know, digital where
regular computer programs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that analog, you know, that sound is something that's just can never be replaced.
No. Not at all. I miss it. I'm old, kid. I'm 48. So like when I started, it was all, I remember when someone was like, "Oh, this guy does stuff on kind of computer," and you're like, "With music? What do you mean, man? That sounds weird."
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I miss this time. So what are you working on now? What's going on? You got a show coming up Thursday, July 13th. That's next week. This will be out on this Friday, the 7th. So you got a show next Thursday, July 13th at Swan Dive. Who else is on that show?
Is it the 13th or 16th?
13th.
Oh, shit. Beats me.
Oh, shit.
That's 3 days early. I'm not sure who's on the show. This is
some cool local
guys. I know. Some cool guys invited me to come play.
That's cool.
And yeah, I'm not really familiar with them actually, and I haven't I've been so busy, I haven't really been able to check them out. So I'm just really looking to be surprised.
Okay. Are you working on it? Is anything coming down the pipe?
Yeah, we actually I got two videos in the works right now. One called Dripped Up, which I dropped a single for that on Spotify, iTunes, anywhere that's streaming music. That's Dripped Up by Kid Jones, and I also produced that record.
Oh yeah, that's it. I heard that today. Okay.
Dripped Up. Yeah, we got the music video for that coming up soon.
Wait, that was on Spotify, right?
Yeah, that's okay. On Spotify. Okay. And another video that we're about to get in the works to making called Stay. I'm just gonna call it Untitled right now, and that's produced by LA-based producer Insightful. He's been in Austin a few times for some shows. He's a dope producer. And all these are leading up to my mixtape / album that's going to be dropping, like, I want to say, like, late August, early September. What you think?
Something like that.
We're waiting on, you know, to get everything in order, get our PR in order, get everything, you know, situated so that we have, you know, the best release possible.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we just want the rollout to be, you know, a great rollout. And yeah, like we said earlier, you know, I just always want to level up, so that's the reason why we really take time with our projects and try to put out quality. But yeah, that's what it's leading up, and the project is called Homecoming.
Okay, look for Homecoming coming out from Kid Jones. It's great talking to you. You're really talented guy.
Appreciate it.
And
man,
I'm stoked. I'm stoked that you. Maybe Tank told me you were his brother before when he was on a couple years, but that was like a couple years.
Yeah,
ago.
Yeah, a couple years ago.
Harris, am I missing anything?
Nah, I think y'all are straight.
Yeah, we're straight. Kid, yeah. I really enjoy talking to you, man.
Man, likewise.
And people, get out there, check him out. He's on Twitter, find him on Spotify, listen to the tunes, tweet at him, and if you live in Austin, go see him Thursday night, July 13th at Swan Dive. I'm going to look up Mike Dean stuff.
Definitely,
thanks, buddy.
Definitely. All right.
I ain't had the money at the time, couldn't even get the bitch off. We was in Miami, feel like I won a motherfucking Grammy.
Yeah. Kid Jones, man, what a great conversation. I really like that guy. You can find him on Spotify, you can find him on Twitter, you can find him on iTunes, you can find him on SoundCloud, you can find him at lnscrew.com. And if you live in Austin, you can find him Thursday, July 13th at Swan Dive, right here in town. Check him out. I'm going to go there. I'm going to see him play live. I really enjoyed talking to him, man. He's a great guy. He's got some great tunes going on. He's a great producer. Thanks for coming by, Kid Jones. I enjoyed talking to you, buddy. Hey, listen, while you're out there checking out Kid Jones stuff and LNS Crew stuff and all the stuff out there on the internet, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, on Overcast, on all the places where you listen to podcasts. And you can leave us a rating. You can, if you rate our show and if you leave us a comment, it'll help us with our overall rating, which helps us keep this show free for you because we will attain amazing advertising. Also, don't forget to like our Facebook page. And if you are a fan of Kid Jones, you know, share it. Share it on Facebook. Like our Facebook page. Share this with your friends with the hashtag #HowDidIGetHerePod. Okay? All right, that's enough about me. That's enough about the show. Let's hear some more music from Kid Jones and everyone out there. Have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.
Still faded from last night's shindig. Woke up to 100 texts, I'm have to hit y'all tomorrow. What's worse, pain or the hangover? Yeah. Thinking back on last night, you should've stayed over. I'm still spinning out, I'm still spinning out. I'm still spinning out, I'm still spinning out. I'ma need a whole day to recover this. You might take a lifetime to recover this. Still faded from last night, shit it all. Woke with stress, roll another pour, another nigga out. It's the put it down, it's the put it down. It's the put it down. Call from the county, got my nerves bad. Trapping heavy out this bitch, close some curtains. Shout it. I know you ain't from around here, but you gon' learn. Still spinning off, still spinning off. Nice when I need you the most, you were never there for a nigga. You taking away everything I was close to dead to a nigga. Still spinning out, still spinning out. Still faded from last night, shindig. Might have did something trippy when it ended. Don't remember shit after times. Don't remember shit after times. Still spinning out, still spinning out. Still spinning out, still spinning out. Just to break down, just to break it down. Just to break it down, just to break it down. Just to break it down, just to break it down. Just to break it down, just to break it down. Touchdown in a minute. Look at me now. Oh, I'm a touchdown in a minute. I'm a touchdown in a minute. All this calling, bothering me. Throw me off, minute. Know where you been. And I'm a touchdown in a minute. Look at me now. Oh, I'm a touchdown in a minute. Touchdown any minute. All this calling, bothering me, finna throw me off, minute. I know where you been. And I'ma touchdown any minute.